It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. Taking your calls, and the phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Next listener, Ton, lives in Centerville with east winds, and they want to know what trees hold up best in high winds.
Well, any tree that roots well will hold up. And so the key is to get it planted. And as the wood forms, it'll form in such a way that it adds strength to those limbs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the what I would avoid are cottonwoods and willows and maybe box elder trees.
Yeah, so it's more about how you plant the tree than the variety of tree you plant.
It is. And so oaks, maples in general, lindens, crab apple trees, like spring snow is fruitless. Most trees will do fine. They'll just be a little bit sideways if there's that much wind. You know, South Weber is an area that you drive and all the trees are slanted toward the west. And then The mouth of Farmington Canyon, that happens. But trees will tolerate it. It's just more avoiding the less stellar trees that have a lot of weak wood and branch breakage.
Next listener says they're thinking of planting eggplant next year. Is there a specific variety that you would recommend?
I will defer to Sheridan on this.
Okay, and I will defer to a video that we did last year with Sheridan at the USU Botanical Center, the demonstration garden. If you go back and look in our videos, probably the easiest way to do that at this point is to go on the KSL, on our YouTube channel, KSL Greenhouse Show, and you will find this wonderful video of the demonstration garden and all the different kinds of things that you can plant. And she has a couple of varieties of eggplant that you can choose from that are more unusual. And so you can check that out there.
That would be the best thing to do. Sheridan, even if you emailed her, I would know of a few varieties that she's been happy with.
How would they email her?
Sheridan, Sheridan, Hansen, Hansen, at USU.edu.
You're not a big eggplant fan?
I'm not. So I'm just going to defer over to Sheridan instead of making some snarky joke about it.
You know, I love eggplant if it's cooked correctly. I mean, well, I've had it where I've not liked it, but
I think that, I don't know if it's just generational, but growing up, a lot of the vegetables I ate were boiled to mush,
mm-hmm.
and the texture and the flavor was gone. I fought endless battles, you know, I'm going to sit there until I eat it type stuff, and I just grew up
They
having,
didn't have Instagram and get all these wonderful ideas, Ton. Now I've got Instagram. I can find all sorts of wonderful recipes for eggplant.
When I got into college, and after I started having a lot of, and with my job, a lot of vegetable dishes where I found out I like tomatoes. I like Brussels sprouts somewhat, you know, and there's a lot of different vegetables. I grew up I despised asparagus, and I've had them cooked in different ways, and they're wonderful.
Right.
So that's why I avoided the snarky joke this time, and we'll just defer to Sheridan and just go from there.
All right. Next listener says, for the first time, something has been eating their radishes, beets, and corn as soon as the shoots were like 1 to 2 inches. Now, they did not eat the other plants in the garden, like the carrots, peas, broccoli, and tomatoes. Now, the plants would regrow. They would be eaten again. We tried bug killer, mouse traps, decon, because this was the first time they've seen squirrels in their trees. Any suggestions as to what might have been eating them?
Squirrels.
You do think it was the squirrels?
Probably. They like certain vegetable crops.
So Wayne was right. It's squirrels.
It could be the squirrels, if that's the deciding factor. I mean, they could look up cutworms, and those would be the next most likely things, but squirrels will feed on things in your garden.
All right. Karen is on the line in Cottonwood Heights. Good morning, Karen. What was your question?
Good morning. I have an Alberta peach tree that I planted in the spring of 2021. Mm-hmm. My peaches, I've got lots of peaches this year, and once they're not ripening. One side's still peachy colored, the one that's towards the sun. The other side is still kind of greenish. And I pick some and put them on the counter. They don't seem to ripen very.
No, peaches, once you pick a peach, that's all the ripening it's going to do, and it'll just eventually rot. So you need to leave them on the branch. And fruit is late this year. You know, usually by now, the Albertas would be on and done. And I noticed that some of the orchards down south have a peach called Angelus, which is a pretty good late peach, and they're just ripening up. So we're a week to 2 weeks behind, so just leave them on the tree.
Okay. My two neighbors have, I don't know if they've got Alberta peach trees, but they've already had their peaches. They're gone. So
they could have had Red Haven or early Alberta, which would have been ripe week to 2 weeks ago, and the Red Haven's a month ago.
And then I have a quick another question. I have a raspberry patch that was planted at the same time in the spring of 2021. Got wonderful crop this year. I'm getting these long, long canes. Should I cut them now while they're still green, or should I wait until the winter? Because some of them are 6 to 7 feet long.
Is your raspberry a summer bearer or an ever bearer?
It's a summer. It's that can be.
Okay. So what you'll do is once the leaves start to drop off, you'll take out all the canes that produce this year's fruit.
Right.
Leave the other ones behind. And anything at the base narrower than a width of a pencil will come out. And then the canes that are above chest height, just cut them back at chest height.
Okay, good. Because these are new canes that are getting this so long. And I didn't know if I should cut them or not.
Yep. Just wait until late October to mid-November and cut them to chest height.
Thank you so very much. Appreciate it.
All right, Karen, thanks for your call this morning and thanks for listening. Next listener, Ton, says they've been trying to get rid of some extremely invasive rose bushes. These have to be wild rose bushes. They're wondering what the best way is to get rid of them when they're not, they say they aren't very strong, so they've had a tough time digging them up.
They may need to be willing to sacrifice other roses if it's a rootstock that's gotten out of hand. But a spray of Roundup over the top of them would probably eliminate them.
Take care of that problem. Yeah. Okay, and that's a lot less physical work.
It is.
All right, Judy is on the line in Layton. Good morning, Judy. What was your question?
Good morning. I have several tea roses, and I love them. And in the spring, they have lovely sturdy stems, and the roses are lovely. And when they're done blooming, I prune them down to, I think, where there's like 5 leaves. But when they come get ready to bloom the next time, the stems are so skinny and the roses are tiny. Am I doing something wrong?
They could be getting too much water. That might cause that. They could also need some fertilizer to see if that will help broaden the width of the canes that are bearing the flowers.
Okay. So
how often are they watered?
Probably twice a week.
With my
lawn water?
Okay. I mean, that should be okay. It's not ideal, but it doesn't kill them either. I would try, have you been using like a systemic rose food or anything on them?
No, I haven't.
Try some of that and see if that helps to get you some better canes. You'd put that on in the spring.
I'm not pruning them. I'm not clipping them incorrectly. I come down to where there's
the first
5 leaves.
Five leaflets, and that's where you cut the flower off.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they have been picking their grapes once they've ripened, but they're wondering if they can now prune those grapes.
No. We're in that season to where we're telling everybody to put your darn pruners away.
All right, Paul.
Unless they're cutting back perennials, after the perennials, you do not prune woody plants in the fall. Sometimes you have to. That's fine. I've had to. I've had jobs.
Scratch the car. Or,
required it. But 95% of the time, woody plants are pruned from mid-March, and or if they're spring flowering after they're done flowering. But just put those pruners away.
All right, Paul. Thanks for your question this morning. Next listener says, how do you tell if apples are ready to pick?
Taste them is the best method. You can cut them open and see if the seeds are dark, brown or black. That's an indication. Watch for the fruit to start falling on the ground. But the fruit on the south side of the tree will start to ripen first and then toward the middle, the last. So you may need to pick them two or three times over a period of 2 weeks. But if they look like they're ripe, the seeds are dark brown, just taste it and see what it tastes like.
All right. We need to take a break. Coming back with the final segment of the KSL Greenhouse. Phone lines are open at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Final segment of the show, Maria Anton with you, taking your calls at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Ton, you wanted to talk a little bit more about how to prune grapevines.
Yeah, I sometimes get a little bit concerned with the amount of pruning people want to do in the fall. And grapes and most other things just don't like to be pruned then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so really quick, the things I would prune in the fall are dead and diseased branches out of anything. And then if they're a safety hazard, blocking your view, scraping your vehicle, those should come out. But prune in the spring. Grapes themselves, the recommendation used to be early February to mid-February, but we're finding that winter damage doesn't show up in grapes sometimes until they start to leaf out. And so we're recommending pruning actually sometime in mid-April to early May, just before the grapes. You can see the buds expanding, and then you can do some pruning. If they bleed a little bit, they sometimes bleed for a few days after pruning. It doesn't harm the grape. So that's to avoid winter damage and to know how much they're damaged, we're recommending pruning them in mid-April to early May.
Okay. Next listener would like to know, does it matter? Well, let's see. Yeah. Does it matter if you fertilize before or after aerating?
It doesn't matter. After would be fine, but it's not going anywhere if you fertilize and then aerate.
Next person would like to know, they're thinking of Christmas, just like Dave. They want to get a living Christmas tree for their front yard. They like the look of Tannenbaum pine. Would that be a good choice, or is there a better choice?
Tannenbaum, I think, is a variety of Mugo. Mm-hmm. And I think the important thing here is to make sure that the tree's not indoors for more than about 10 days. After about 10 or 11 days, they start to break dormancy. And so you bring it in about December 15th, 16th, 17th, and get it out the day after Christmas and then put it into your garage. It'll need to be watered sporadically through the winter in the garage, and then you can plant it in the spring when you work the soil.
Next listener wants to know if those pruning tips you just gave also pertain to large trees.
They do. You don't want to do a lot of wholesale pruning on your shade trees this time of year.
Next listener wants to know, what is best for fall, seed or seeding a new lawn or sodding it?
It's getting a bit late to seed a new lawn. If they wanted to wait until late October and put the seed down where it was too cold for it to germinate,
mm-hmm.
they could do that and it would just germinate in the spring on its own. Or they could wait until early to mid-April of next year.
Next listener says they're new to planting squash. They have an acorn and a butternut. We didn't talk as much about squash, but how do they know when to harvest and then how to store them?
Stick their fingernail into the side of the squash fruit.
Oh, we did talk about winter squash. Yes.
Yeah, stick their fingernail into the side of the fruit. If the fingernail doesn't penetrate very far and no sap comes out, that's a good sign. And if the fruit's taken on kind of a waxy appearance, that's the other thing.
All right. Wilma.
Leave 2 to 3 inches of stem on the squash.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Wilma is on the line in Tooele. Good morning, Wilma. What was your question?
Yes, we have killed out part of our lawn, the south side and the west side of the house, and have been working on getting the morning glory under control. And with the image that was suggested, we have had good success with that using a spreader sticker, but it's getting late enough in the year for seeding. We'll probably be seeding in the spring. Would it be good to put pre-seed fertilizer down now so that it would be available in the spring?
No, it would leach away. Just put it down when you put your seed down.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and if you spray a lot of that image, while the temperatures are in the 80s, you're fine. But if, say, you sprayed image and we were consistently in the 50s, it may stay in the winter, stay in the soil over the winter. And so I wouldn't do much spraying past another week with image if you're planning on reseeding an area.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call. Next listener says, if you're trying to kill a tree, is it better to cut it down in the fall before it starts to draw nutrients back from the leaves?
They need to, if they want to cut it down, that's fine. But this is the good time of year to do stump treatments. You use a drill with a paddle bit that's a half inch wide or so and drill on a 45 degree angle 3 or 4 inches into the trunk every 2 inches. So you ring the tree. And you fill every one of those holes up as much as you can with concentrated Roundup or lawn weed killer, and that should kill the tree. They can do it without cutting it down now if they want to cut it down in the spring.
All right, we have just a minute left in the program. So I did want to mention to our listeners, Ton, that it is football season, and next Saturday that means that this show is being preempted by football coverage. So we apologize for that. But also wanted to let our listeners know that we put together a number of great videos that they can go watch on our YouTube channel, KSL Greenhouse. They can also listen to the show in podcast form at kslpodcast.com. And you can actually kind of weed through the podcast and find particular things that you want to hear about as well.
You can. Our YouTube channel has a lot of videos on it. Facebook has our videos. We should bring up that just with the general football season, our schedule is a little more sporadic because of Big 12 football. So if you don't hear us, we'll be back.
All right. Have a great weekend and tune in. And again, 2 weeks.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.